Hey, gang. Welcome to another episode, another week of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, the last republic you have left. Yes, Republic Broadcasting. You want to keep that republic because you don't have another one. So go to RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send a donation, keep this republic alive. You know, they are cracking down on free speech. There is a censorship tsunami coming, and we want to make sure we don't get washed away. So please do that. I mean it. And then go to nationalbugle.com. Not .org, not .net. .net is totally for losers. Nationalbugle.com. Okay, and there's no hyphen there, because hyphens, boy, are hyphens for losers. So go there, and you will find at the top, it's at the top now. We've moved it to the top because it's that important. The link for the co-certified app, click on it, download it repeatedly. Just keep downloading that thing, because we know apps are getting kicked off the Apple Store. They're getting kicked off of the Play Store, whatever it's called, over and over again. Tim Cook kicked off Apple way long ago because it's that awesome. But you can still get it for your Android phone, or you can use it online. You do that by clicking on the button, the icon at the top of nationalbugle.com. Today's Monday. Monday is the day we have Mark Collett, and we really like having Mark Collett on the show. I played a clip of yours reacting to the whacking of Ashley Babbitt last week. I played that. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Hello, Patrick. It's always a great pleasure to be here. I always say this is the best way to start my week here on the Republic Broadcasting Network with you, and we have a lot to talk about. And there's something I like talking about an awful, awful lot, and it is the hypocrisy practiced by our enemies. And yes, I'm not calling them our political opponents. These people are our enemies. They want us dead and gone, but they are hypocrites. And at the moment, they are trying to call the Occupy Capital movement. And let's face it, that's all it was. It was a sitting.
Thank you.
People went into that. I heard that from you. That is your phrase, and it is the phrase I am adopting now as my phrase also, because it is fantastic. And that's what it was. Now, America has a massive history of political protest. It has a massive history of sit-ins. I remember reading Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. I read that book to get a deeper insight into the mindset of left-wing radicals. Saul Alinsky, he is a Jew. He talked about sit-ins, and he talked about how effective they were. And sit-ins became so effective in the USA that many large corporations actually started planning new buildings with dedicated sit-in rooms. And these dedicated sit-in rooms were places where people could sit in, where people, if they wanted to, if they were coming into the building for a protest, would be corralled into. They would have their own toilets, they would have coffee machines, they would have drinking fountains, so that those sitting in would be comfortable. They could have a little protest without disturbing the rest of the company. And when Saul Alinsky was shown these sit-in rooms, he remarked, at that point he knew the sit-in was pointless, because if the sit-in wasn't disrupting business, it would have no effectiveness. It wouldn't be effective at all. No company was going to change their policy because a load of people were sat in a dedicated room drinking water, coffee, and going to the toilet. People change their business practices when a load of people are sat in the offices preventing work and costing that company money. And this history of sit-ins is something that has always been enjoyed and used by the left, by liberals, by Antifa, by BLM, by any of these communist groups. Now, all of a sudden, patriots start doing a sit-in, or they do the first sit-in that I can remember them ever doing, and boom, this is a complete disgrace. And people are talking about insurrection. They are talking about these people as if they're terrorists. But let's have a look at something that I think everyone needs to have a look at. Now, I took this from Devon Stack, Blackpilled. This is on his Telegram. And he wrote this: all the people complaining about what happened on the 6th won't tell you that in 1983, Susan Rosenberg of the Black Lives Matter global movement bombed the Capitol building. When she was arrested, she was found with a cache of weapons and explosives. She was sentenced to 58 years, but only did 16 because of Bill Clinton commuting her sentence on his last day of office. Now, this is amazing, isn't it? The left-wing terrorist groups bombed the Capitol building, and a Democrat president, Bill Clinton, commuted the sentence of one of their leaders, Susan Rosenberg. She now sits on the board of Fundraisers for Black Lives Matter, an organization that is absolutely supported by the Democrats, completely and utterly supported by the Democrats. But this isn't the only time people have gone into the Capitol building, and it's not the only time people have gone into the Capitol building with weaponry. Now, I want to read something else to you.
And what was the weaponry that people went in this time? Because, I mean, you saw a Tonfa baton or something like that to break wind.
Well, when I say weaponry, this time it has been reported people went in with tie wraps, and I know the press have reported
tie wraps.
Weapons
present.
With
nylon strips, right?
Yes.
Nylon zip strips, yeah.
But on May the 2nd, 1967, the Black Panther movement invaded the Capitol building, and they were fully armed. And I'm going to read this to you. The Sacramento Bee is celebrating its 160th anniversary this year. This story is part of our ongoing coverage. May the 2nd, 1967. Two dozen armed Negroes, I'm reading directly from this page, these aren't my words, two dozen armed Negroes enter the state capitol at noon today, and 10 made their way to the back of the assembly chamber before they were disarmed and marched away by the state police. Now, again, this is a black movement. This is a movement that would never be condemned by Democrats. So here you have a bombing of the Capitol building and an invasion of the Capitol building by armed blacks. And let's just have a look at what was going on all last summer. All last summer, we saw riots, burning, looting, murders all over America. And people like Nancy Pelosi said this, and I'm quoting directly what she said: I just don't know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be. Democrats were calling for uprisings all over the country. Kamala Harris said about these demonstrations, and I quote, protesters should not let up. These people all summer were calling for violent revolution in the United States. And now, when there has been one sit-in by patriots, they are using the word terrorism to describe that act and terrorists to describe those protesters. Make no mistake, this is, again, massive hypocrisy from these people. These people are employing the grossest double standards. And when it comes down to it, they are doing this so that they can call the entire Trump movement and the entire patriotic movement as terrorists. They're branding them all as terrorists, and they will continue to do so in an effort to take away people's rights and again attack and erode freedoms and freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they are attacking the entire Trump movement. And this is a situation very different from Charlottesville 3.5 years ago, where the purpose of the Charlottesville rally had been to defend the statues of Confederate generals, and which is something that some people care about. Very few people care about a lot. Some people care about it kind of, and a lot of people are completely indifferent or opposed to. But President Trump and the faked election is something that pretty much half the country cares a lot about. And so when they're trying to give the Trump voters the Charlottesville treatment, I don't know how well that's going to go down. Here's another example, and this is, hypocrisy, I guess you could say. The last time you had a joint session of Congress to count electoral votes was 2017 on January 6th. Joe Biden was the presiding officer as the incumbent vice president. And guess what you had? You had demonstrators, anti-Trump demonstrators in the House chamber, right? You had them there. The only difference was they were allowed in. They were allowed in because typically the public is allowed in to observe the business of Congress. They always happen. I've done it. I've done it multiple times. I can't tell you how many times I've gone in and just watched because it's kind of cool. But ever since, I guess, March of last year, because everybody might die from the flu, they have used that as a pretext to do a whole bunch of things. They obviously did it as a pretext to change the method of voting so that you don't actually have to go vote, the method of counting votes so nobody's allowed to watch the counting of votes. They've done it for all sorts of things. They did it to prevent people from going into Congress. So I went to, last spring, I went down to Congress. I wanted to talk to my congressman. Wasn't allowed in the office. So, I mean, they've used it to completely change the way we go about doing government. And now people aren't allowed to observe the counting of the electoral votes. In fact, I had somebody, I'm not going to say who, though, but it called me up and say, how do we know that the Congress were even in there? How do we know they were even in there? And I said, well, I think they were in there. But honestly, he said, well, who saw them? And I said, nobody saw them because you're not allowed to go in. But 4 years ago, you had, if you go back, you can go to like C-SPAN, you know, just you can, it's on YouTube, it's wherever, just watch the counting of the votes from 2017. And you will see when Joe Biden is trying to announce the electoral vote totals, he's disrupted and he has to call on the sergeant of arms to remove protesters, and some of them were black. So there is another example of the hypocrisy. Here's one last thing. Nancy Pelosi, at the start of the proceedings on Wednesday, told the members of Congress that only 11 from each side, I guess that means 11 from the House of Representatives and 11 from the Senate, but only 11 on each side could be on the floor at any one time. Now, if that's the case, I don't know how they could have a quorum. And without a quorum, their business isn't legal. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not the congressional parliamentarian. I couldn't tell you exactly what the procedure is supposed to be for that. But it may very well be that they never had a quorum. And the joint session's business can't be official. So I'm just throwing that out there. But I'm throwing the ball back to you. So now what?
Well, I think now we have to have a difficult discussion. And this is a difficult discussion a lot of people don't want to have. Now, I've always had a lot of faith in the things that you've said, Patrick. And I don't want this to come off the wrong way. I think
I'll go ahead and defend it.
No, I think you've done some incredible analysis when it comes to electoral law, when it comes to past precedent in terms of elections, fraudulent elections being overthrown. I have very much enjoyed listening to everything that you've said in relation to those things. And I believe, though, now that none of that will come to pass. I don't believe that Trump has any legal way to retain the presidency. I don't think he is trying anymore to retain the presidency. Mm-hmm. I think that boat has sailed. Yeah. And I think now we have to. And I just want to also say, because I don't want anyone to think I'm being disrespectful here, when you talk to me about the Texas lawsuit against the election result, I was very, very enthusiastic about that. Lots of people I know was very enthusiastic about that. A lot of people who listened to your show were very enthusiastic about it. And many people that I spoke to believed that was a legitimate route to power, or a legitimate route to Trump holding on to what I still believe is rightfully his. I still believe he is the president. I still believe that he won that election. No one's changing their mind on that, because the amount of fraud was staggering. And if there wasn't that amount of fraud, I believe, if there wasn't actually any fraud, if there was no actual evidence of fraud, I think the Supreme Court would have actually heard the case and just debunked it. I think there was so much evidence of fraud that the Supreme Court didn't want to hear the case. And I believe the Supreme Court didn't want to hear the case because it was scared of the conclusions it would have to take. Mm-hmm. And I think if the Supreme Court, if those conclusions, I think they just worried that if they had, if they'd heard the case, the conclusions they would have came to would have been so explosive that it would have undermined the American system to such a degree that it could have technically triggered some kind of civil war or serious revolutionary act. Now, I also want to say that to me doesn't matter. The truth is what matters, not protecting a system that isn't fit for purpose. Protecting a system that isn't fit for purpose is a pointless act. And I think the Supreme Court have shown that they too are absolute enemies of the people, and they can't be trusted. They aren't acting in the interests of the American people. And that's something that we've talked about a lot as well, because I know you and I have both spoken out against the judiciary, whether that be the judiciary here in the UK or the judiciary in America. But I think now, not only has Trump exhausted all of his options, but I don't think he's going to try anymore. I think that Trump is done. And that doesn't make me happy to say that. I'm not pleased to say that. I don't want to be having to say that, but I'm saying it because I believe it to be true. And that means that the Trump movement needs to go somewhere with or without Trump, but it cannot be allowed to simply fade away. The idea that the Trump movement should simply fade away, to me, is something that we shouldn't really even entertain. There should be no fading away of the Trump movement. We need that to carry on. We need the Trump movement to persist, but we just need it, if you like, under new management. And when I say new management, what I mean is we need it under nationalist management, because I kind of get the feeling that this last gasp of Trump's at the Capitol building, and tell me if I'm wrong here, but I kind of get the feeling that it was all more about his ego than it was about any route to power. I think the last gasp attempt by him wasn't really a last gasp attempt. It was more him basically placating his own ego. He got all of his supporters there. They protested. And at the end, he came out and he condemned their actions, and he tried to pedal things back, and he ended up more isolated, really, than he ever has been before. Now they want to impeach him. And I think he's let down his supporters. And I think a lot of the things that he's done have been for him and not for them. And that's not something I like. That's not something I agree with. That's not something that I back. But I think that the Trump movement needs to be in better management. And I think there is better management out there. And I think that better management is nationalism. And I think we need to we need to look at what's happened, and we need to steer that movement in a better direction, because what we know now is that fundamentally all of this stuff to do with Q, QAnon, trust the plan, all of that rubbish was exactly what I'm calling it. It was rubbish. It was nonsense. It wasn't actually anything that held any water. And fundamentally, underlying the entire Q narrative was the idea that somebody was going to come on a big white horse and save us, and that person was Donald Trump. That isn't going to happen. We have to save ourselves.
Well, we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
And welcome back. You know, I never really followed the Q stuff very carefully, but I guess it was all about, you know, well, Trump being a savior, but also some sort of cavalry that's always going to come out. And perhaps the Q phenomenon, which I guess was big among Trump boomer base, the boomer base of Trump, maybe that's led to some complacency, because it's very passive. You're always expecting something to happen. One thing I want to say is we got really close. And if you're to use a sports metaphor, and, you know, although the UK and the United States share a language and share an awful lot, and I won't quote Winston Churchill saying that we're divided by a common language, but we don't share sports. I don't know cricket. I do know what we call soccer. But if you're talking about a sports match, and you're talking about this election, it's as if we spotted the other team. You know, the election, the fake election, spotted the other team. They're up by 3 or 4 touchdowns or whatever, 3 or 4 goals. And then we had our work cut out for us. There was a way forward, but it would be really difficult. And the way forward, I thought, was you get the evidence out there. First, the evidence, that's the basis of everything. Then the public becomes convinced and they become angry and mobilized. Lastly, the politicians will be forced by the public to act. Well, okay, so what actually happened? We did get the evidence. I think we got plenty of evidence, especially Rudy Giuliani, I thought, because he presented evidence. I think the Dominion voting machines was a was a real problem, a real thing, but the evidence for it really wasn't presented very well. That was Sidney Powell's job, but whatever. It didn't matter. Rudy Giuliani had lots and lots of evidence, and but the public did get the public was convinced, you know, according to opinion polls, according to a lot of other things, they were convinced. But you know, they didn't come out. The only times they came out in big numbers, you had two rallies before this in Washington, D.C. I guess you had the Million MAGA March, and then you had a somewhat smaller but still pretty healthy rally, in mid-December. And then you had these rallies at state capitals, which were anemic, which nobody showed up at unless Alex Jones or Nick Fuentes was there. The Stop the Steal movement that was supposedly associated with the Trump campaign, all it had was like C or D list celebrities, internet people that nobody had ever heard of, lots of blacks, lots of gays, who didn't show up, who wouldn't even show up to a lot of these events because nobody was showing up, especially at the state capitals, which was, you know, that was a problem. And perhaps that is why the politicians only got moving always a little bit, you know, too little too late. And one thing that I think is important is that the politicians who got moving first were the lower level politicians. So you did get, you know, Rudy Giuliani went to the state capitals and presented things. And then you did get the bulk of the Republicans in several state legislatures on board with the plan. The leadership, though, which is higher up, the leadership thwarted the you know, Republican backbenchers, so to speak. And so you never had a recertification. But, you know, January 7th, the day after Wednesday, the day after this big Occupy Congress event, the Wisconsin legislature was due to come into session and vote to decertify. There was going to be a resolution that was going to be tabled to decertify the Democratic electoral votes. Now, so you had movement going, and you know, the in the U.S. Congress, the House of Representatives was slow, but eventually you had the bulk of the Republican delegation to the House of Representatives that had signed on to the objection. Now, of course, you had several Republican Congress people who had explicitly spoken out against it, and then at the Senate, it wasn't until the you know, the very last days that a single senator, Josh Hawley, said he would object, and then a few others joined him. But you know, the higher up you went, the longer it took, and the fewer they were to get on with the program. And I think that's very telling, because you know, the higher you get, the more you've sold yourself out. But I just want—I know that's kind of long-winded, but I wanted to emphasize that we actually got really close, and there was a strategy that would have. That, you know, Ted Cruz had asked for an emergency 10-day audit. Well, he wasn't going to get that. But the last conceivable strategy would have been to object to every single state, which would have dragged out. You would have wound up having, you know, you have to have 2 hours of debate for every state. And if you're going to object to 50 states and you consider the time in between going back and forth to the Senate chambers, that would mean about 3 hours per state. 50 states plus the District of Columbia, 153 hours worth of debate, a massive debate. And you think of these people like Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, and, you know, you can think of them debating en masse. In fact, I would say they probably get together all the time and practice mass debating. That's what I would say, because you look at these guys and they look like they're very experienced mass debaters. But did they do that? No. They could have dragged this out for 2 weeks, and in the 2 weeks you could have had things happen, but that ship has sailed. Like you said, that ship has sailed. Sorry I had a long rant, but we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And we are back, and so the possible strategies of pulling back the election for Donald Trump have expired. The fake election, and we all know it's fake. It has been consummated or whatever, and you're going to have a fake inauguration for a fake president and fake vice president. And now what?
Well, now what is the important question? Now, firstly, let's talk about the consequences of this, not just the consequences for Donald Trump, but the consequences for the American people and specifically for Trump supporters. Now, Donald Trump has been kicked off Facebook. He has been kicked off Twitter. He has been kicked off numerous other social networks. He has also had his shop taken down. I can't remember the name of the Shopify. That's the company that does the shops. They have taken down his shop. Donald Trump is now an outsider. And not only is Donald Trump an outsider, but many of his most vocal supporters are also outsiders. The number of his supporters who are both famous and who are both lower down the scale in terms of fame and reach have been purged from Twitter. The Twitter purge is now thousands, tens of thousands of accounts have disappeared. Some of the biggest accounts have gone. People like Ben Garrison, who used to do the pro-Trump cartoons. Charlie Kirk has now moved to Telegram. Mark Dice produced a video the other day called This Is The End, saying that he will soon be taken down from YouTube. Numerous supporters, people like Computing Forever, Dave Cullen, he had a massive, massive YouTube following. he was talking about all kinds of things. He's gone. We've obviously already seen people like Nick Fuentes go, but Nick Fuentes is also now being kicked off DLive 2, which is an alternative social network. So the consequences of this aren't just consequences for Donald Trump. And this is what we really have to talk about now. I think we have to talk about life post-Trump for the patriotic movement in America. Because one thing that is completely closed off for the patriotic movement in America is now social media. Social media has gone. It's finished. It's over. There is going to be no more gigantic mainstream social media movement. And the natural place seemed to be Parler. A lot of people were saying Donald Trump was going to Parler. A lot of people were saying that his administration would follow him there, that there was going, or many of them were already there. I know his son, Donald Trump Jr., was already there doing a lot of, they're called parlays rather than tweets. I always want to call them tweets. Tweets is just a better word. Parlays sort of doesn't roll off the tongue quite as well. But he was putting a lot of updates out there. He was talking to people on there. He was saying things more openly there. But this morning, Parler was taken down. And there's an important message there. And the important message for us today is that any radical outsider alternative to social media cannot ever, ever be built using mainstream technology and mainstream resources. So, for whatever reason, I just want to put that up. Go for it. Sorry.
Okay. So apparently Gab's numbers are exploding. But and Gab has built its own infrastructure. And then also, what about countries that have more tolerance for free speech, like Russia and China? What is it? VKontakte, which is a Russian social platform, and then TikTok, which is the video hosting that's Chinese. What about these places?
Well, I wouldn't be too. Positive about TikTok, but I would definitely say VK, get on there. I would definitely say Telegram, and I'd definitely say Gab. The key to survival now is for outsiders, for patriots, for people who are part of alternative media, to get themselves on to not just to other social networks, because Parler, unless they get themselves back up, they have failed. And why have Parler failed? And this is going to be a popular thing to say, but it's true. Parler touted themselves as an alternative to the mainstream. But whilst touting themselves as an alternative to the mainstream, they still sought to use all the mainstream resources. They still wanted to be on the App Store. They still wanted to be on the Google Play Store. They still wanted to use Amazon's servers. And what has happened? Well, Amazon have apparently cited 100 different tweets on Parler that they didn't like and have said, look, that's enough. These show that you're not properly policing it. We don't want this kind of thing on our servers. We no longer are willing to do business with you. So this morning, Parler went down. Parler is essentially dead as of now. Whether they get back up and running is another thing. But the important message is, if you are building a new brand, a new social media platform, you have to be sensible about how you do it. You can't use Amazon. You can't use Google. Google have apparently already had meetings about withdrawing all email services from the Trump administration. Apparently, they have even discussed bricking all the Android phones used by the Trump administration. And that would be absolutely unprecedented. What you'd be seeing there is basically Google saying, who actually uses this Android device?
What does bricking mean?
Basically, if you brick your device, it means it ceases to work. So basically, rather than having a working phone, you literally just have a brick made out of glass and silicon in your hand. And glass, silicon, aluminium just sat in your hand, that it's basically useless. And this would mean that Google would look through all of their data, and they would say, who uses this phone? Well, this phone is used by Donald Trump. This is used by his son. This is used by his campaign manager. This is used by Rudy Giuliani. This is used by this Trump aide. This is used by that Trump aide. This is used by Rudy Giuliani's secretary. Right. Every single one of these devices is now being shut down by Google. And Google could do that. So you'd still own the handset. But to all intents and purposes, you couldn't use it for emails You couldn't use it for anything else because the Android operating system on that handset would cease to work. And that would mean that Google would be making the unprecedented move to actually prevent people using technology they bought. And the problem you've got here is the fact they're discussing it means that this is actually something they're considering. And once they have said, and again, it's very important who they're doing this to. Trump is still the president at the moment. Trump is still the president. But as he is still the president, if they did this to him, if they did this to his team, it would mean they could do it to any of us. How long before they say, well, actually, Mark Collett and David Duke, they were talking on these two different devices. We don't like them. We don't like what they stand for. We don't like their rhetoric. We don't like their radio shows. We don't like their YouTube shows. Do you know what? We're cutting their Google devices too. And they could do that. And they could literally send you back to the Stone Age where we were all basically using old rotary phones, old telephones. And what could we do? Nothing. And it would also set the precedent that service providers could do that. So say you have BT in the United Kingdom, say you're using their broadband, they could say, well, actually, Mark, you've uploaded some documents to your website using our broadband. We don't want our broadband connections to be used for your propaganda. And the next minute, I can't upload anything. I can't do anything. I can't get online. I'm totally cut off from the outside world. And I think this is where we're going. I've said this before. As soon as you start allowing companies to withdraw services from people for political reasons, as Facebook, as Google, as YouTube, Instagram, Twitter have done, what's to stop other companies from doing the same thing? What's stopping telecommunications companies doing that? What's to stop the gas and electric companies doing that? What if the electric company ring me up tomorrow and say, Mr. Collett, you use our electricity to power your PC. Well, did you design the current patriotic alternative anti-lockdown leaflets on that PC? Well, of course I did. Where else would I design? Right, well, we don't like the fact our electricity is powering that. We're withdrawing all of our electricity from your house. Final bill in the post tomorrow.
And then, of course, financial services, you know, banking.
Well, I've already had that. I've already had my business bank accounts closed down. They're gone. So I can't bank. I can't run a business. They've already told me I cannot run a business in the UK anymore. That's me done for running businesses. I can't do anything. I can't get a bank account when it comes to or use them or use banking services for as a commercial entity. That's already been done. And this is basically allowing these corporations to completely control our lives. And I've often... I know you and I slightly differ on this because I call this sort of communism via the back door, but really it's a communism via corporate power. And The reason I call it communism by corporate power is because it operates just like communism did. And the people doing it are just the same people who brought in communism. But rather than doing it in exactly the same way as they did communism, they're doing it through a capitalist corporate structure, which now is more powerful than the president of the United States of America. This might be outdated, Patrick. This might be outdated. But when I was a child, the president of the United States of America was always described as the most powerful man on the planet.
Yeah.
He was always described as the leader.
Donald Trump, huh?
Well, he was also called the leader of the free world.
Does he feel like the most powerful man in the world right now?
Well, the way they're pushing him about, the way these corporations are pushing him about, if I was to be completely honest, it puts me in mind of the way America has pushed around leaders of tin pot dictatorships in places like South America or Africa or the Middle East.
Or elected leaders in places like the Ukraine or Chile.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, so there's Donald Trump's got 9 days left in office and you know, people are saying, oh, well, he might
say that, but they're trying to impeach him. I mean, they've said to Pence this morning, you either get rid of Donald Trump or we get rid of him. Which is it? I mean, can Pence get rid of Trump? Does Pence have the ability? They're saying use the 25th or.
Well, here's the thing. The 25th Amendment actually is harder than impeachment, but it does have to be initiated by the vice president. It has to be initiated by the vice president, and then you have to have a majority of the cabinet officers sign a letter, and then that gets submitted to Congress. Once that happens, Donald Trump is temporarily not president. He temporarily loses his power, but all he has to do then is write a letter and send it to Congress, and he gets his powers right back. And then Congress has a period of time, which is longer than 9 days, but they have a period of time in which they can vote 2/3 in the Senate, 2/3 in the House of Representatives to remove him permanently. And that could happen, except, you know, you need 2/3 in both the House and the Senate. With impeachment, you don't need the vice president. You don't need the cabinet. You only need a simple majority in the House of Representatives, but you still need the 2/3 in the Senate, and you have to have at least a trial, which would have the Supreme Court Chief Justice presiding. And Mitch McConnell said he's not going to bring the Senate back into session until the 19th, which is the day before everything expires. And could you have a trial in one day? Would you get 2/3 of the senators, which would have require a lot of Republican defectors. But the thing is, in the House of Representatives, you would need to get about 30% of the Republicans to vote against Trump. And the House of Representatives is more loyal to Trump than the senators are. I don't think it's going to happen. They'll try, probably. They'll probably start tomorrow with the impeachment. But I don't think it's going to happen. And the point of the impeachment isn't to get Donald Trump out of office, because he's leaving office anyway. It is to make him constitutionally ineligible to run for president again, because that's what would happen. That way.
I've heard that. And the thing I was going to ask is, if they go ahead with this, my big question is going to be, do they actually have time? And also, do you think Trump would run for president again?
He might run for president again. I would hope would have. You know, the thing is, I appreciate Donald Trump. I'm glad he became president, because so many people see things much more clearly now. The idea that he did good things, no, he never learned how to govern. I think he had more or less good intentions, in that his own self-interest aligned to an extent with what we think needs to be done. But, you know, he was a complete failure in terms of governing. But I think it was a great thing that he became president, because it's exposed everything. And we now know that we don't live in anything like a democracy. We have an oligarchy. We know who our rulers are. So many more people know what's going on than they did before. But in these remaining days, whether it's 9 days or less than 9 days, there's not much he can do, but he does have two powers. One is the power to declassify documents, which he should try, but that still requires people following his orders. And at this point, everybody's in open mutiny against him. And, you know, before they were in concealed mutiny, now they're in open mutiny. But the one thing that really he does have, the last thing he has, is pardons. Because if he issues a pardon, it's public that this person has been pardoned by the president of the United States, and there's not much they can do about it. That person's pardoned. And obviously he needs to pardon Snowden and Julian Assange. He needs to pardon all the people from Charlottesville, Jacob Goodwin and James Fields and the other people from Charlottesville. And he needs to pardon everybody from the Occupy Congress event of last week.
I was going to ask, do you think he'll do that?
I don't know what he's going to do, because at this point, he has very little to lose.
He has very little to lose, but, and I don't want to be the Debbie Downer on what we're saying here.
Womp, womp.
Yeah, I just get the feeling that although he has very little to lose, he rarely acts unless it actually benefits him. And I think asking for Trump at this point to do something that is for the good of the American people, or for the good of other people. Like, I believe that the James Fields thing would be a good move. I believe that would be a good move. But I don't think he'll do it. Do you think he'd even go out swinging for his own supporters at this time? Do you think he'll actually pardon them? Because if he did pardon them, that would be phenomenal. And I would totally back that. but I just can't see him doing it because it doesn't. Does it directly help him? Can he be bothered?
There is a tradition of presidents making outrageous pardons on the last day they're in office. I mean, this goes way back, and so you've got Mark Rich, the Jewish bankster. Who was pardoned by Clinton on the last day. You mentioned Susan Rosenberg. What day was she pardoned? She was pardoned the very last day Bill Clinton was in office. So you have this tradition. I think Trump will pardon some people. I don't think he'll pardon everybody he should. Because one thing I think we've learned about him is he doesn't know what the heck he's doing. And he doesn't have, like you said, he does things when they're in his self-interest. And the only times that it's the right thing to do is when he sees his self-interest as aligning with our self-interest. But we're up on the break. We'll be right back.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
So we are back, and this is Monday, and you have all sorts of stuff you do every week. You're on multiple shows. You've got your own Patriotic Weekly Review, and you've got your documentaries. Do you have anything special that you're planning this week?
I am actually planning a few things, and I have been very busy recently with a range of different initiatives, which I've been working towards as part of Patriotic Alternative. And I'm going to be continuing working towards those different initiatives. One of them is, of course, Patriotic Weekly Review. We've got the show this week. Jason is back on the show. He was obviously in Washington last Wednesday, but he will be back. He is a great guy, and I'm looking forward very much to hearing what he has to say. We also have a guest, Richard the Lionheart from the UK. He's a great young new content creator, so I'm really looking forward to speaking to him. And I've also got a lot of different appearances this week too on other people's shows. And this week on Sunday, we've started a couple of new things on Sunday night. We've started some gaming streams, some film review streams, and a book club. And this Sunday, we're going to be reviewing The Godfather on my channel. We're trying to keep Sunday nights a little bit lighter, a little bit politics-free, more sort of community-based stuff where we talk about pop culture from a nationalist perspective.
Okay, well, that sounds interesting. All right, so... And then you're on Gab, I take it.
I'm on Gab, Telegram, and BitChute. Please support me on those platforms.
So a lot of people are very new to Gab. How many followers do you have on Gab?
I only have 4,000. Sadly, I made a major mistake of neglecting Gab somewhat because I had such a large Twitter account. And I spent a lot of time tweeting. I didn't spend a lot of time on Gab. I should have spent more time on Gab. I was also on Parler, and I am on Telegram too. My probable social network of choice at the moment is Telegram. I use that very regularly to advertise multiple things that I do. But I am now sending all of my information out on Gab as well. So if you can support me on there, that would be wonderful.
Hey, last question. What about... Antifa involvement in breaking down the doors, or state provocateurs, agent provocateurs? What do you think of that?
I think there will definitely have been some agent provocateurs there. I think for the state, this will be the kind of thing that they will use against nationalists and patriots for a long time. And I would definitely say it would be in their interest to do something like this for obvious reasons. So yeah, that's definitely something I would say is a real, real possibility.
Yeah, and I've come across a video that clearly shows, and this would have been early on, two people who the crowd thought were Antifa, who were trying to break a window, and they were booed, they were prevented from going any further, and then there was a chant of F U, et cetera, Antifa, F, and Jason and I heard this from our vantage point. This was early on. So you certainly did have, you might have had patriots who were just swept away in the moment, who might have broken some windows, but you certainly had people who the crowd thought were Antifa, and I would, I don't think I'm going out too far on a limb to say that they were agent provocateurs, and to the extent, and I'm pretty sure it's true, to the extent there was any federal or, you know, security service, intelligence service, encouragement of this, then the whole thing really becomes kind of a false flag. Okay, Mark. Well, thank you so much for joining me, as always. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, We can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.